Morning, Shavua Tov. So I just wanted to take a look at something that was, we find the source in the Torah for a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Naso. That's the topic of Kisui Rosh, of women's hair covering. That's the prohibition of going out the Gilui Rosh with uncovered hair. So I want to look in particular, what is the obligation, how much, where does the obligation apply, and with what? What are some head coverings that are considered acceptable, condoned, some that maybe are not, differences of opinion in that regard, and the question which really we see throughout is the question of objectivity versus subjectivity. Is it an objective requirement? Is there a part that's objectively required? What about subjectivity? What if you're in a place where women, Jewish or not, don't cover their hair? What if you're in a place where, you know, everyone covers their hair entirely? How will that impact the obligation? So the source in the Torah is from a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Naso, when describing the Sota ordeal. So what's the process? What happens? V'amida kohen es ha'isha lipnei Hashem ufar es rosh ha'isha. And he uncovers the woman's hair, or the woman's head. So it sounds like if a woman is, Sota is undergoing this procedure, so she's a married woman, and it seems to take for granted that a married woman's hair is covered. And the Medrash points out that the whole process of the whole idea of the Kohen uncovering her hair is something that would be considered shameful and sort of consistent with the way that she was acting. It says in Source 2, Farshaderek Benos Yisrael, Lios Rashay and Mechusos, that it was the way of the Jewish daughters, Jewish women, to go out with their hair covered. Lakach Haya Porea Isha of Omer La, Farshad Vederek Benos Yisrael, you've separated from the ways of Benos Yisrael, Shadarkan Lios Mechusos Rashayhen, Lakta Vedarke Avodas Kochavim, and you went in the way of the Avodas Kochavim, really referring to the fact that at the very least she secluded herself with another man. It was a breach of modesty and was really deviating from what the expected standards are for Jewish women. So it seems to at least take for granted that married women had their hair covered, and that was something that was the default. The Mishnah Ksuvos in Source 3 talks about different practices that if a woman does, so she can be divorced and not receive her ksuba. And it talks about two categories of violations. One's Das Moshe, the law of Moshe, Dalet Taf, Das Moshe, and Das Yehudis, the laws that became a matter of Jewish custom. And it says there are different things in those categories that if a wife does, she can be divorced then and not receive her ksuva. So the Mishnah says, Source 3, Eli Yotzeh Shalob Ksuva, those are the following are women who will be sent out without receiving ksuva. Hoveres al Das Yehudis, al Das Moshe v'Yehudis. Those who are in violation, who transgress Das Moshe, the laws of Moshe, and those things which are Das Yehudis, a matter of Jewish practice, accepted Jewish practice. Vezohi Das Moshe, so what is considered Das Moshe? Machiloso she'eno me'usar, feeding food that hasn't been tithed, which amash don nida, and having relations when the wife is in nida. Velo kotze lochal, doesn't separate chal, v'nol deres ve'eno mikayemes, who makes nedarim, vows, and doesn't fulfill them. So those are all Das Moshe. Those are all, and there seems to be a level of objectivity with Das Moshe. What's Das Yehudis? What things would be considered violations of Das Yehudis? Ezeli Das Yehudis. Yotze v'rosha parua, going out with her head uncovered. Betova Vashuk, someone who spins wool in the marketplace. The Gemara says the problem there is she'll be slowly spinning and her sleeves will go up and reveal the parts of the body that are required to be covered. Midaberes in Kol Adam, she's extra friendly with all people. Abba Shulomer, Af Hamikaleles Yolda Bifanov, who insults she insults his parents. Ritarvan Omer Af Kolanit. So what's this Kolanit? These are Kolanit. Look at Shem and Daveres Betok Pesa. Someone who talks very loudly, and her neighbors hear, they don't understand it, maybe they're in relation to someone who is, you know, particularly loud, it's someone that would be considered a breach of modesty, and according to this category of Das Yehudas, and when she violates that, she can actually be divorced and not receive her ksuba. So what's Das Moshe, and particularly what's Das Yehudas? So the Meiri says that there's a level of subjectivity to Das Yehudas. It has to do with not only what the Jewish women wear, but with what the rest of the world wears. He says, source 4, V'das Moshe Nemar al mitzvos aksua b'Torah, o harimuzos ba. So Das Moshe are things that are more or less explicitly written in the Torah, and there seems to certainly be a level of objectivity. It's written in the Torah, there's not much wiggle room. It says, V'das Yehudas, hu nemar al min hagim hanogim be'uma mitzad mitznius lios benos Yisrael yiseros b'midas nius al kol shar nashim. So Das Yehudas seems to be, At the very least, complying with Das Moshe, and we'll see what's required to be covered according to Das Moshe. And the Das Yehudas seems to be relative to what the rest of the world is wearing. And the Meiri says relative to what the rest of the world is wearing, and should be a level above whatever the rest of the world is wearing. So the Jewish woman, he says, should be dressed a little bit more modestly. So he says it's what the rest of the world is wearing plus. The Rambam doesn't say the plus part, but he says it certainly has to do with what the rest of the world is wearing. And he lived in Arab countries, and apparently, evidently then, like nowadays, many women dressed covered more than what, according to any objective standards, Jewish women have to require. And in fact, the Rambam says if you live in a society like that, you have to dress at least as much, he doesn't say more, but at least as much as the rest of the society dresses. It says in source 5, Ezu Das Yehudas, Himenag Hatzniu Shenagu Benos Yisrael, the practices of modesty that the Jewish women are accustomed. Elohim Advarim Shim Azad Echad Mehem Avral Das Yehudas. So if she doesn't comply with them, she violates Das Yehudas. Yotze Lashuk O Lamaboy Mafulash Verosha Parua Venela Redid Kechol Hanashim. Her hair is uncovered, or she doesn't wear redid, this veil. I don't find the veil is either covers your face or it covers a larger part of your body. And if it's the case that the broader society, let's say they all wear veils, maybe even if they all wear burqas, so the Jewish women at least should be dressed according to the standards of society. And in fact, if the standards of general society, I don't think we have to... maybe unfortunately have to worry about this nowadays, but if the standards of general society require parts of the body to be covered more than what Jewish law requires, so if a Jewish woman doesn't comply with that, so she's actually in violation of Das Yehudas.
It's an extra reason not to live in Iran.
Right. In addition to, there still is a small Jewish community there, but right, it would, if you get hot in the summer, and I think the climate is hotter there, so it would be. But it would seem, according to the Rambam, that if one lived in Iran or Afghanistan or something like that, then they would have to dress at least as, call it modestly. And generally, using modestly to mean, you know, covering up more, which is, you know, obviously modesty goes farther than that. But they would have to dress at least according to what's considered proper in that society. It also is relevant, let's say, if someone's within different Jewish communities, that it would seem, according to this, that if one went to a community where, let's say, the practice was to be more stringent in matters of tznius, at least as far as what has to be covered, so it seems that if one goes to a community where, you know, nowadays there are many places where there's not one uniform practice, but it would seem that if one went to a community where the standards of modesty required covering more, so it seemed that one would have to dress at least as modestly as the rest of the society. And not giving any psak here, but there I had the Rebbe I've heard from different people that, let's say someone goes to a little bit of a different topic, but let's say you say shok b'ishreir, that the question what the shok is, but at least the lower portion of the leg is erva. So the question is that the knee, is that the ankle? What exactly does that encompass? So there are some communities where maybe they take as a basic halacha that it would be the knee, but then to semi-comply with the opinion that it's the ankle, so the women will wear tights or stockings. I don't know the difference, but they'll wear that as kind of a compromise. And you say that it's not a basic requirement, but is that if one goes to a community where that's the standard, so then perhaps the woman who's going there would have to, I've heard that being a directive, that they would perhaps have to dress at least according to the standards of the community where they're located. So the next source, the Gemara in Ksubis, speaks about one, the what, and what the what, the how much, and where. So where we see that a woman's hair has to be covered, at least in some settings, but where does it have to be covered? And is the amount that the hair has to be covered, does it depend on where the woman is located? So Gemara says, Ezo Yidasi Yehudis, verse 6, Yotzev Rosh HaParua, Rosh HaParua Deraisehi. Meaning, why do you need to say not only Das Yehudis, that would presumably be Das Moshe? As a question, so it seems, from basic reading of the Gemara, that at least the basic hair covering is Deraisehi, with the opinion of the Trumas HaDeshin, who suggests that just in Asmachta, that it's not or it's not deraisa, but I think many assume that it is deraisa. It's certainly the plain meaning of the Gemara. So having some going out with their hair totally uncovered, so that would be deraisa. That would seem to be das Moshe. Dixiv, Uparas Rosh HaIsha, quotes the pasuk that we saw in source 1. Dan Vevei Shmo, Asar Levnos Yisrael, Shelo Yatsu Uparu Rosh. They shouldn't go out with uncovered hair. So deraisa, so what's deraisa? Kalta Shapir Dami. So according to Das Moshe, a kalta, which Rashi says is this type of hat where it's presumably doesn't cover all the hair, but it's some sort of round thing, a kippah-like thing that goes on your head, and then there's a compartment on top to carry your groceries. That seems convenient, but it doesn't cover all the hair. So it says according, right? Yeah, it's like so it's, you don't have to balance it, but if you want to, it seems quite convenient, especially if you have some kids. So that's enough to comply with Das Moshe. Das Yehudis, afilo kalta nami yasr. But according to Das Yehudis, the custom that Jewish women have accepted in relation to the general practice of the world, so afilo kalta nami yasr, a kalta is not enough. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kalta Ein Ba Mishum Parur Rosh. A Kalta is not, you're not in violation of uncovering hair. Rabbi Zera Hecha. So where does it not apply? Ilemi Bashuk, Das Yehudasi. So if you want to say that it's required in the Shuk, so obviously it's required there. So Ela Bechatzer. So maybe it's that so where is a kalta not, when you're wearing just a kalta, where you're not in violation of uncovering your hair? So the shuk, but in the shuk, in the public place, you need to you need to comply with Das Yehudis. So Ela B'chatzim Kain Law Enough. So this will get into the where. You say your hair has to be covered even in a chatzir. So chatzir is just a little bit more than your own house. And we'll see a question of conceptually what that would mean. So Amar Abaye, the Tema Rav Kahana, mechatzir lechatzir derech mavoy. So let's say a chatzer, a mavoy, it's like an apartment complex. So So then a little bit in the public domain, not totally in public, but let's say you have, if I can picture like an apartment building where you have the hallway. So it seemed there that you would only have to wear a kalta, only have to wear a partial head covering. I didn't put it on here, but Rashi says the reason why you have to wear it, that why you don't have to cover your hair entirely or comply with Das Yehudis there, is lo shika barabim, that it's not a place where many people come. It doesn't sound like there's no one there. So the way I envisioned it, and I discussed it with Rabbi Abbey when he was here, that let's say you were to say this type of chatzur l'chatzur derech mavoi is something like a hallway in an apartment building. So it would seem that perhaps a woman just going out, taking out the garbage, throwing it down the chute, it would seem that perhaps there you could go out with the partial head covering. You wouldn't need to comply with Das Yehudis. Here's the thing, Rashi says, lo shikha barabim. He says, because there aren't many people there. It doesn't sound like there's no one there. So, and I'm just speculating, but it sounds like a woman could go out without complying with Das Yehudis, even if there's a chance that some people are there. There may not be an imperative for her to make sure that no one sees the partial head covering. So I was thinking, based on that, maybe it could not strictly be the whole idea of Das Yehudis. Maybe isn't strictly the amount that's covered, but it's more based on the setting. What's considered modest in a certain setting? That perhaps, even if someone could come by and could see part of your hair covering, but perhaps the setting of going out in a place that's not really public is something that's not considered a breach of modesty. But going out in a place that's public, where there are more people there, so that could be, that could necessitate a stricter compliance with a stricter definition of Das Yehudis. So I was just speculating, but it sounds like there is that it doesn't necessarily, according to the way the Rashi justifies a chatzur l'chatzur v'derech mavoi, it seems to be that you could even go with that with a partial head covering, even if someone will come by, someone will see you, because the setting isn't one that's public. There are some opinions that perhaps that would mean that maybe in one's home, so maybe even if there are people over, she could have her hair partially covered. And maybe because it's not considered a public place. I heard it was quoted in the name of one person. I asked someone who was more familiar with that community. The person says that's not exactly what they said. So there are different takes, but there it is. It would seem there's to be this, some reason to say that it has more to do with the setting as opposed to making sure that no one would see the hair less covered. So the Tumas Sedeshin, it sounds like even the Das Moshe is not the Raisa in the strict sense. It's really, he says, the Rem is the Raisa. Many do assume that it is the Raisa. It seems to be the simple reading of the Gemara. Where is one place that this... Actually, maybe I'll skip a couple. I'll skip the parts dealing with Kriya Shema. The Yerushalmi sounds like what we were saying. It's Yesh Chatzin in source 12. Yesh Chatzer Shu Derech Shehu Kim Mavoi. Yesh Mavoi Shu Chatzer. Chatzer Sharabim Bokim Besocha Rehu Kim Mavoi. Mavoi Shein Rabim Bokim Besocha Rehu Chatzer. And it seems to be a question of, he says Rabim Bokim Bo, that the public passes through. So maybe you could say, even if there are other people who could walk into your house or walk into a hallway in an apartment building, so maybe that's not considered a place where the public has free reign. And when is one in violation of Das Yehudis? You see in source 13, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yosez Lashuk, Ola Mavim Befulash, in the marketplace or in open alleyway, Bechatzir Sharabim Bokimbo, that the public passes through. Verosha Parua Einala Redid Kechol Anashim the Shulchan Aruch also assumes that if it's the plate Kechol Anashim, that if it's most of the women wear this type of veil, so one would have to wear that. Afal Bi Shesari Mechusa B'Mitpachot, that even though the hair is covered with the Techol, if the general public covers more, so one would not be allowed to go in public without complying with the general practice. And so what about in a person's house? From what we've seen so far, would it seem that, let's assume that there's no one there who would not be able to, would not be allowed to see the woman's hair uncovered. Maybe a husband will see, maybe there's a difference whether, you know, she's in need there or not. But would you think, based on what we saw, that particularly if you look at source 6, the Gemara in Ksubas, would it seem that if one is in the privacy of their own home, there was no concern of other people seeing, would it seem that a woman's hair would have to be covered?
It sounds like no. Because we have the thing about lo nathabad avam lavinu shushavad avabala, sounds like at home be okay to have my hair uncovered.
Right, so it sounds like, I mean, that would appear to me that way as well, that it sounds like, if anything, the thing you're going to require the hair to be covered at all times, it's going to make it life impossible. So it sounds like if someone is in the privacy of their own home, and let's say that there's no one there who would see, we'll get rid of that problem. It would seem that there's not a requirement for a woman to always have her hair covered. We go to the second page. So the following Gemara is commonly quoted, and I think the way it's commonly quoted doesn't quote the second part, but we'll see what it says. It doesn't talk about strict requirements, but it talks about this woman, Kimchis, who had 7 sons who were Kohanim Gedolim, and Gemara says they each got knocked out in a different way. They got spit on them, so it turned out that all of her sons were able to serve as Kohanim Gedolim, which is a pretty prestigious thing. So Gemara says, "So sweet, 15 Tana Rabbanan and Shiva Banim Hayu Lekimchas Vekulan Jemashu Bekuna Gedolim. All of them served as Kohanim Gedolim. Amar Lo Chachamim Mazit Shachazit Lekach. What did you do that you had merited to have such great children? So Amar Lahem, she said, Vimi Lo Koras Beiti Kaleis Sari. That in all of my years, the beams of my house never saw my hair." He says, "I did that, and that's why I merited to have these types of sons." So what I think is not as commonly quoted as the first part is the Chachamim's response. They say, "Amr la harba asu kain velo ilu." They say, "Well, many women did that, and they didn't have the type of success that you had." So I don't know. What is that saying? Is that the first part she's attributing to that,
right?
And the Chachamim aren't saying that it's a bad thing, but I think it could arguably be said that they're saying maybe you can't say it's necessarily why.
Yeah, but you also see that many people are doing that, according to Chachamim.
Right. Sounds like it wasn't only Kimchis. It's not, it certainly sounds like it's a praiseworthy practice, but it's like not a surefire way to have children who are...
What's more authoritative? An anecdote about one lady who, you know, had 7 times were fabulous. Or
Chachamim
saying, yeah, lots of people did that. Like, this was
not uncommon.
It's not uncommon
practice. Right, so it seems like it's certainly not telling you, as far as more, what's more or binding. So it doesn't seem like it's telling you a lot of the practice. But whether the practice of, you know, making sure the beams of your house don't see a single hair, so is that something that the Chum necessarily considered a, we'll call it a segula for having, you know, children who will serve as Kohanim Gedolim? So, I know it doesn't seem like necessarily, but I think many times they quote the first part. I looked, I'm not sure why they have it, but they have Oz V'Hadar Levusha, which is a book about tznius. It's written by Rabbi Falk in Gateshead, and it tends to be, you know, somewhat on the shrinchen side. So I was curious before the shiur, so I looked, and right, he only quotes the first part. And it's clear that the first part I say is, it seems to assume that this is a praiseworthy practice. But as for whether, you know, you're going to have children who are, you know, Kahanim Gedolim or the equivalent is probably not entirely clear. But okay, this seems like to be a practice that was considered praiseworthy. And the Zohar says, and the Zohar isn't always, you know, binding halachically, but the Zohar says in Surah 16, Ar Yehuda Sar Rosh El Yisho Shemizkale Gorim Sar Acher Zkale So Pagam Osa. So there he says, it's very serious to have even a single hair uncovered. Mishum Kat Tzricha Yisha Shafilo Koris Abayis. Doesn't mention Kempkes, but it alludes to this. Lo Yirus Ara Achas Mirosha Kol Shein Bachutz. So he said, even the beams of one's house, it seemed that even in one's bedroom, no amount of hair should be uncovered. How you reconcile it with the Gemara Ksubis, at least on a purely halakhic level, I'm not sure. And that's what, see, the Chasam Sofer actually goes like this. Zohar Moshe says it's hard to say that this is the basic requirement. But what developed out of this is there are communities, particularly Hungarian, Galicianer, where it was customary and still is for married women to shave their head. That is many in many Hasidic groups, the married woman will shave their head, and this accomplishes what Kimkas did. If you don't have hair, so the beams of your house, you're not going to see your hair because you don't have any.
Can you also go
have
tefillin?
What?
Can you also go outside without
a tefillin? I was wondering that. Meaning, you don't have any hair, can you go with? It seems it means paru or rosh, so maybe the head has to be covered,
right?
Regardless. Right. That's the idea, that they wouldn't, and there were communities that were where this was practiced. I gave this year in Clanton Park, and someone said my booby shaved their head. So it was something that was done. And really, for this, there was also a question, maybe it could be knotted and be a chatzitza for the mikvah. There were different explanations to this practice, but one is that you accomplish what Kimchas did. It makes it a little bit easier to accomplish. I read a biography of the Satmar Rebbe, and he was a big proponent of this practice. And it said that the Chasam Sofer, who also said this is required, he made his daughters, you know, promise, you know, that they shouldn't have any hair show. So, you know, some who take this, who really are careful about this. And the Chasam Sofer says in certain...
How come women didn't have pass a rush?
So they learn Kedushin, is why that... It learns from Sukkim that there's no prohibition of women shaving their peyas harosh or peyas hazak, and if they have facial hair, there'd be no prohibition of removing it with a razor. I think the problem with the razor is then it grows back thicker. So the Gemara learns that there would be no prohibition there, because then, you know, you'd have Hasidic women with the peyas down from the... So the Chasam Sofer says in Surah 17, "Aklal yotzei shum kol shum seir b'shum makom b'rosh akbuzi b'nesua filu chadara ervahi im lo sheish la mit pachas b'rosha." Even in her room, she has to have her hair covered. In the Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't quote it as a basic halacha, but he does say in Surah 18, "The Roy Linhok Azor of Yoma Isa Masak the Kemchis Biskos Atznius Sayserish Ahisa Ba Shalo Ro Koras Besa Amri Luka Yatsu Imenu Kahanim Gedolim." So he says that it's a Tznius Yisera. So it doesn't sound like he's saying that it's a basic halacha, but he's saying it's a good thing, that's something that's praiseworthy. So there are different, you know, people take this to different extents. But there seems to be value in covering one's entire hair. But I don't know, it's hard to, and see, Rav Moshe says it's hard to understand that the Chasam Sofer, in light of the saying that it's a requirement, in light of the Gemara Ksubis, which, if anything, says that maybe Kimchis did this, but Kimchis and maybe some other people who practice similarly did it, but it seems to say for the average person it's going to be impossible. It's going to be very hard to do this. So, Ramosha says, you say after the three dots, and in 19, Lechein Ladina, Avshimin HaRoyish, Achmiru HaNashim, over Chasim Sofer, he says it's, even though it's proper for women to be stringent, like the Chasim Sofer, that the old hair should be covered basically everywhere, because it comes out from the mouth of such a great gadol, bein bedin harishon, bein bedin hasheni, bedin hasheni, ha'igam malo desniuski tekem kosh about pashu shilu. But he says
shilu. We're in
19, yeah. Yeah, to three dots. Discussing this question. He says about Pashu, Shilo Rotso, we're going to like 40, right? Okay, so we're. He says about Pashu, Shilo Rotso, Lahakel, Abishne Adinim, Ain, Lakashvin, Lakashvin, the Oros Adasi, Yehudas Hasa Shalom. He says those who want to be lenient about these things. Let me know if you Talmud Chacham be your Shemayim Lisa Isha Kazu Im he be your Shemayim with Daktekes be Mitzos Ubalas Mitos. He says that it's not required according to the basic law, and even though maybe something that's praiseworthy, even someone he says who there's some to say Bal Nefesh Yatmir that there are people who should maybe be stringent. He's saying even a Talmud Chacham, even someone who's particularly stringent with these things, shouldn't refrain from marrying a woman who doesn't want to adhere to this stringency, assuming she's medaktik mitzvos and the balas midos. And then the other matter that he's speaking about is having two etzbos, two finger breasts uncovered, and the question about that. And he says, which is two tzvachim, he says a betziruf, Pachos Metefach Yoser Asura. That's a question: how much hair can be left uncovered? Moshe allows a little bit, but it's sort of combined with the entire head. So basically, it gives you a tefach, the entire way. It's not one here, one here, one here.
It's one square tefach, right?
Right. And it's the concept tefach bisha erva. Maybe some could, even those areas that are considered erva could have partially uncovered. So the next part really deals with Kriya Shema, which we'll just go through it quickly, which the primary sources were on the first page of that Gemara says one can't say Kriya Shema, Sarbi Isha Erva, other parts of Erva as well, and one say, at least in the immediate context, it says that one can't say Kriya Shema in the presence of those things. And the question that we're going to get to here is there a level of subjectivity? Does it have to do with what people are used to seeing? Isn't you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema in front of Erva because it's objectively you're not allowed to see it? Or does it have to do if someone is so used to, and maybe it's unfortunate, but if someone is so used to seeing these things, maybe there are grounds to be lenient with saying Kriya Shema? Because maybe the idea is it just shouldn't be, you shouldn't say Kriya Shema in the presence of things that are arousing. So as far as hair, so if you look at 20, Rav Moshe addresses the question that when a wife is in nida, so there generally you're not supposed to see parts of her body that are generally covered. So what about the hair? So Rav Moshe says that but he says the practice is that most women aren't stringent like kimchis, and therefore shabal ragiyabul hutam gadol she'ein lasar alav. And because the husband is very accustomed to see the woman's hair, and it's not something that's subjectively alluring, proof is you see unmarried women with their hair uncovered. So he said there are grounds to be lenient in a case where the wife is in nida. the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll skip to source 22, the Ramah says, Din shazar shel nashim sharagin, let's say, mechulitz adamtzan, kol shekein sar nachris, afi'il darka, so it's that even, and this will get in, this touches on the idea of sheitlach, which we'll maybe look in for the last couple of minutes. What are you allowed to cover with? So, the Aruch HaShulchan, around the turn of the 20th century, in Rabin Nevardik in Lithuania, so he addresses the reality that existed in his time that I think was very widespread, particularly in Lithuania, probably from the 19th century to the mid or later part of the 20th century, that there were very religious women who were careful in mitzvos, but it really just fell to the wayside, the practice of covering hair, to the point where there are many prominent rabbanim and gedolim whose wives didn't cover their hair. Some were more well-known than others, but from what I understand, it was quite widespread. This is Gashir about this, Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, and he said that, I don't remember who reported it to him, but that maybe in the 50s in the Kollel and Chaim Berlin, maybe like one or two of people's wives covered their hair. Like it was probably, the Kollel was probably smaller than it is now, but it was something you see. And even in circles where they tend to be stringent, it was something that really until the later half of the 20th century was something that really fell by the wayside. Their credits, the Hungarians were very strict about this. I mean, they came after World War II, so it became more widespread. But it was something that was really neglected for a while. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes, this is in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, he's saying, now that it's so commonplace, can you say Kriyat Shema in front of married women say brachos or et cetera, in front of married women whose hair is uncovered? So I've heard it reported that people cite this Aruch HaShulchan to say, the Aruch HaShulchan says, married women don't have to cover their hair. Or something to that effect. So we'll see what the Aruch HaShulchan says. I won't analyze it. We'll just see what he says and see if that's necessarily what he says. There's actually a student in Or Chaim who was speaking about this, and one of the Rebbeim said to look at the Aruch HaShulchan. So he said, yes, he was in the Aruch HaShulchan, and he said that this Rebbe said that the Aruch HaShulchan says you don't have to cover your hair. I said, I'm pretty sure that's not what he said. He told you to look in the Aruch HaShulchan to see what he said. So we looked at it. So even that, the Rebbe wanted to change his learning experience already. It was reported differently. So I said, I doubt that's what he says, but we can take a look. There are many years have gone by that the Jewish women have neglected this. And have gone with an uncovered head. For all that the Rabbanim had cried out against this, it hasn't helped, it hasn't been affected. That it spread like leprosy. The married women have gone with are going with uncovered heads, like the single women. Also, yemenu kach. Okay, miu. What?
It sounds great.
So far, it doesn't sound too happy about it. He says, miu akoponim ledina nirishemuter lanu liisbalu levarak neged rasheihen agulos, but according to the letter of the law, it's permitted to daven and to say brachos in the presence of married women whose hair is uncovered. Came shata ruban tolkos kach, because now the majority goes like this. Vukam makomas hamagulim begufa, Mordechai, etc. So he says because people are a dafka bedaver shein regilos galos, that maybe the issue is those things that are not customarily uncovered, but with unmarried women who go with uncovered hair, we're not concerned. Vileka hear her, and there's not they're not going to lead to arousal. Okay, it says we came on shatzlenu gam hanesuas kain memela vileka hear her, and because in our times even the married women go with their hair uncovered, so there's not going to be a concern for improper thoughts and. Therefore, he says, according to the letter of the law, it's allowed. Moshe also says this. that, but this has to do with Krishna. Again, I'm not even going to analyze it, but what he's saying is that according to the basic letter of the law, for Krishna, in a place where people are so accustomed to see uncovered hair, including with married women, so there could be, so that you could, it would be mutter to say Krishna and brachos and davin in their presence, which is something that is very practical. Time. Okay, so we'll go just quickly run down to the last page. What about shaitlach? What about the shaitlach made from one's own hair, from other hair? What's the story with them? What do some of the posts can think about them? So maybe the whole problem of sarvisha erva, that a hair is considered erva, maybe it's only hair that's attached to the head. But what if a woman cuts her hair and makes a sheitel out of her own hair? What do you think?
Go for it.
The Mishnah Berurah does quote an opinion that says, yeah, that hair that's not davuk to her skin, so that wouldn't be considered erva, and you can make a hair out of your own sheitel out of your own hair. As quoted some other sources leading up to this that suggest that the married women did cover their hair with what's called peyanacharis, with a type of wig. And people say probably the wigs that they covered with were maybe not like the wigs nowadays, but it seemed to have been the practice that women would cover their hair, with other hair. And in 21, the Urus Moshe says, what about with hair? What about if it looks like your own hair? And he says, a couple lines up, "Bimeinu nikar la nashim she'enu istaklin kol kol penashim." That we don't even have concern for Marisayin, because even if it's made from hair, even if most people don't recognize it, he says the women, they all know what's a sheitel, what's not a sheitel. They'll say you can spot a sheitel, and the woman can spot a sheitel from a mile away. So he also, in that same shuva, he speaks about electric shavers. He says it's a little harder to understand.
The men can't spot sheitels from a mile away.
By the men can, right? But even if it's done so well that the men can, so he says the women still can.
Isn't it for the men? I mean, like, not only the women can hear them,
right? Right. That's a good point. But maybe he's saying that it will still be recognizable. That if the idea, Rabbi Willick from YU says like this, if the idea is to indicate that a woman's married, so just in general, I guess it will be recognized that she's married if a good percent of the population realizes that. So he says it's not a issue of Marisayin. And the Lubavitch Rebbe actually felt that a sheitel was preferable. Because if you go out, let's say you're wearing a techel or a hat, it's easier to take off. And maybe, especially in a place where most people don't cover their hair with a techel or a hat, maybe if you go to meet the president or something, you may be tempted to take it off. So he says, a sheitel, if it looks like hair, you'll be more comfortable wearing it, and you're not going to be as... One, it covers the entire hair, and you're not going to be tempted to take it off, or it's not going to fall off. So I know that it's the practice of Chabad women not to leave their house without a sheitel. They'll always wear a sheitel out of the house. Inside, maybe they'll wear a snood, but I was told that outside of the house for this reason, they'll always wear a sheitel. Rabbi does say that if it can be covered very well and you're not going to take it off, so it would be okay, but the preference is because, one, it covers the entire hair, two, you're not going to be tempted to take it off, or it's not going to fall off. So he actually felt that sheitlach were better. Ovadia Yosef, as is partly known, he did not feel that way, but...